Last week on the Poison Rana Patreon, we talked all about NXT from April 10th, 2014, in a brand new episode of Was Next.
And then it's Sasha who kicks out of this elbow, but then in the corner goes for the straitjacket again, but this is blocked into what looks to be like the skeleton of the... Yeah, it looks like she's like figuring out that move at this point.
Like the backstabber into it.
And she's like kind of trying to hit that move, but in a kind of out of order sequence. When Bayley counters this, uses the wrist control, and catches Sasha with the Bayley to belly for the 1-2-3.
Yeah, obviously this is nowhere near the Brooklyn match or what they go on to do further on, but I think you can see that both these women are like a step above a lot of the kind of roster at the moment. I always love Sasha when she's just in bullying mode, you know, the stomping down on the face in the corner, that kind of stuff.
Get this show plus NXT retro reviews, wrestling reviews, movie reviews, and so much more over at patreon.com/poisonrana, and it's only $5, so what are you waiting for?
Taking these things as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BBE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever podcast app you're using. And of course,
we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Hello, Postmarks. How are you doing?
Hello, Postmarks. Hello, NXT friends.
Friends.
We are here today on a Tuesday to talk about NXT. That's what we do every Tuesday here at Post Wrestling. You can catch us live on the YouTubes. Hit that subscribe button and join us every Tuesday night. But if you search Poison Rana in your podcast app or on YouTube, you should also hit that subscribe and check out all the other podcasts that we do, including last Sunday, our jam-packed free edition of Poison Rana Live, where we discussed in-depth Olympic coverage.
Yes.
Disney coverage.
Yes.
Finally talked about Wolverine and Deadpool.
Yep.
So we got a lot of things out of the way there. And then some wrestling.
Yeah, a whole lot of AEW. We've kind of not done as many Poison Ranas recently, just due to life and Sunday Summer. Shows and that kind of thing. But yeah, catching up on AEW and the build to All In. We'll be talking more about that this Sunday. Our thoughts on that. Everything going on Raw and SmackDown and other stuff we've kind of caught up with the rest of the world of wrestling.
Yeah, wrestling never stops. You were just at SummerSlam in Cleveland, so we talked a bit about the fallout from that and the kind of lead up now to Bash in Berlin, but also, yeah, all the hype around All In and how we're not going this year. Last year, we made the trip around the world, but this year, we're not. So if you are going, be there in spirit for us. Have a drink. Maybe check out Grapple Show on the Saturday. Say hello for us and have a drink with them. But if you're in the Toronto area, you can watch All In with us because we decided to throw a little party with our friends over at Wide Open, the bar, the best dive bar in Toronto. And we're going to be doing a little AEW All In watch party Sunday, August 25th, 1 p.m. But we're going to be there at noon, get the pregame going, and we're going to watch AEW with some friends. I know for a fact a lot of our friends and locals and stuff are coming to watch this, and I'm excited. I'm sad we're not going to be there like last year, even though last year you almost died in Wembley Stadium.
I did, yeah.
Legit almost died. Wasn't the closest to death well, that you were, you were at, but you survived. And this year, we'll maybe we won't get you as close to death as last year, but damn it, we'll try with whatever drink menu you come up with. So yes, all in watch party in Toronto. We have limited tickets for this, so go check out poisonrana.ca or link to our socials for this, because it's gonna be fun.
It will be, yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. Great bar. Obviously, we've talked about it a lot. We recently had our little what was it, Money in the Bank pre-thing with John and Wei there. So yeah, be good. Definitely, if you are in the area, come on by to watch some All In with us.
Absolutely. We are working for something for Bash in Berlin.
Yes.
Possibly as well. So looking forward to that for any Toronto people out there. But it was a blast, and it's always fun meeting new listeners, some old listeners, and vice versa. So looking forward to that. But yeah, check out all the other stuff that we do, because we'll get into NXT. But we do a lot over on our Patreon. And this week is a busy week for us because we decided to launch a new podcast series. Some episodes may or may not be free, but some episodes are going to be coming soon, because we're recording our first episode of The Champ Is Here. We're going to be spanning the next 16 or 17, possibly, months, going through each John Cena world title win. The doctor of Thuganomics, the Marine himself, he said it here in Toronto at Money in the Bank. He's retiring. Mm-hmm. I saw a tweet today saying this is pretty much the Eras Tour for men.
Yeah,
where Cena is going to be going around the world, and the last time you'll ever get to see him wrestle. And I think they're going to be doing this pretty smart. And I imagine it ends with him at MSG winning the title one last time
on his final show. No, no.
Fuck it.
I do find it interesting though with the Gunther Randy match that's happening, and then really pushing about how Randy's going for 15. Like, I wouldn't be pulling the title from Gunther right just away, yet. But do we do a little flip flop maybe to get that number up for Randy?
Gotta get those numbers up. Some rookie possible, numbers, yeah. Randy. We gotta get the Cena versus Randy with Rick as the ref match.
Exactly, yes. But yeah, we're doing episode one. We'll be joined by Andrew Thompson and Nate Milton to talk all about the first championship win of John Cena. But this first episode, very much looking at the rise of his career, sort of his debut in 2002, all the way up to, like, you know, he almost got fired at one point and rapping on the bus and starting to build that popularity, feuds with like Lesnar and Undertaker, that kind of made a name for himself before winning that first title at WrestleMania 21.
Yeah, so once a month, we're going to be dropping an episode of these shows, and each show will be joined by two different guests. So there'll be a bit of a round table for each episode, and we'll go through each title win and everything going on in the time of that year or whatever with John Cena and his feuds and his title wins and yada yada. But this first episode is definitely a big one with Nate and Andrew joining us. This is going to be some great John Cena talk, talking about not only Ruthless Aggression, but some of his raps, some of his earlier matches, and even his album. For the first time, we will get in-depth chat about his album. So definitely looking forward to this show. And it's going to be available for patrons over at our patreon.com/poisonrana this week at some point Wednesday night. But because we're so nice, patrons, you'll get it first. But this show will be available for free for everyone next week. So yes, really looking forward to this one. And anyone listening, we posted up in our Patreon and our Facebook a feedback thread. Write in some feedback of favorite John Cena memories and moments, et cetera, and we'll read them on the show.
Yeah, we've got a hell of a playlist there of things to look at. So do check them out. But if you just want to give some sort of general thoughts about, you know, this first title win and the beginning of his career, please head over to the Facebook or the Patreon.
Absolutely. So can't wait to record that show tomorrow with Nate and Andrew. It's going to be a blast. And we're going to chat about John Cena. Who would have thought? Everyone just loving up John Cena. He's such a lovely guy. When at some point, a lot of people didn't like him.
Yeah.
As times change. So yes, follow us on our journey. The Champ Is Here, a series coming soon. And you can always support us by also going to chop-tees.com/poisonrana. We got lots of great merch up, including the shirts, the button-ups with the frogs, the hats with the frogs, the t-shirts. And I know Dickie Bird is cooking up some stuff for the fall drop, which is going to be even crazier. So trust me, love the merch and appreciate everyone who sent in. I think it was Andrew in the Facebook chat posing off with the the pink frog shirt.
Look great.
Looking fresh. And I always appreciate seeing that there. So check us out.
Yes, chop-tees.com and get yourself some sweet, sweet merchandise.
Yes. Check out all the other stuff that we do because we do a lot of stuff, not just talk about NXT.
Yep. On our free feed, we had a brand new What Up Doe and Eagles Don't Hunt Flies, which came out on the feed last week. So do search Poison Rana wherever you get your podcasts. And as well on the Patreon, as you heard at the beginning of the show, we released our latest episode of Was Next, where we went back in time to April 10th, 2014 to see what was going on in NXT.
Yeah, for diehard NXT fans, this is the show for you. Was Next, we've been going through since the beginning, and we're in 2014 after the first NXT special, but ahead of the first technically takeover, I think they call it. So it's pretty fun going back, and we look at what else we were doing. You were just reminiscing about your time at the NXT Access and WrestleMania 30 and Ultimate Warrior and stuff. So Was Next is always a fun show.
Absolutely.
For sure. But yes, we do lots of podcasts. Appreciate all the love if you have checked us out. And if you haven't, why not give yourself a membership? For $5 a month, you get access to hundreds of podcasts out there, and it's worth your...
We've never raised this price. We've been doing this for years now. Inflation's going up. The cost of beer is ridiculous nowadays, but you can still get a podcast for $5.
Look, your birthday's in a couple weeks. My birthday was a couple weeks ago. You want to buy us a beer, but you can't. This is how. Buy yourself some podcasts from your favorite boys.
Absolutely.
The BDE, Poison Rock.
Over 500 shows to go back and enjoy.
So many.
Movie reviews, retro NXT, retro pay-per-views, best match ever, top five, like all the lot.
We got you. Including, look, a little teaser for a show next week. We're finally going to review ECW One Night Stand 2005, a show we've actually never reviewed.
I thought we'd reviewed it, and then I was looking to make sure, and we've reviewed moments on this show. Yeah. Like, I know we did the kind of opening for our Paul Heyman profile. We did a whole show on Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome.
With Nate,
With Nate, which is in our archives, and you can check it out. But we've never done this whole show. We did look at 06, I believe. But not this one. So looking forward to very highly regarded show.
Love that
moment
show.
For WWE and ECW. And yes, Andrew from Cape Breton has selected this for us.
Excellent. Can't wait to talk about that one. Yes, the Masato Tanaka Mike Awesome match that inspired Gunther. Did you see in an interview? I forget where this was from a few weeks back, where he mentioned that this is his favorite match ever.
It doesn't surprise me.
Just two guys beating the shit out of each other. But lots of shows. Appreciate all the love out there. We're going to talk about some NXT. I actually didn't get a chance to watch Raw in full, so I kind of did the quick breakthrough. But I definitely thought the Bron Breakker Sammy stuff was pretty cool with him throwing him
that was crazy.
Throwing him into the abyss there almost. But
I find... I probably enjoyed this more than their other two matches because it did get a bit more time. Still didn't quite hit where I thought. I think maybe it's more timing. I think at this point with Bron Breakker, he should be coming in and steamrolling people, but also there's sort of respect for Sammy, and he is a top guy that you're not going to necessarily have him just completely Goldberg him. I just think timing-wise has been a little odd for this one. And I, even the second match, it wasn't quite a squash, even though it was very short. It wasn't as dominant as I thought it would be. And then you're doing a 2 out of 3 falls, which means Bron has to kind of lose a fall in that as well. Right. So I enjoyed it. It, again, it didn't quite hit that level, but that spot throwing, launching him into the crowd was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed what they're doing with Bronson Reed right now, killing the Miz and R-Truth. That was pretty fun.
Love to see that.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. What else did I like? The New Day stuff I'm kind of into, the Odyssey Jones stuff. I'm enjoying Raw. Raw's probably been my favorite show of the week the last few weeks going on.
Yeah, I love the fact that the term sloppy seconds got brought up on a wrestling show.
Yes.
Wrestling's back. Just wait till Netflix. They're going to say some wild shit. They're gonna do a live sex celebration.
There was doing these watching a bunch of 05 John Cena today.
Yes.
There was so much that got censored on the network. And I'm It was almost like Jimmy Kimmel unnecessary censorship, right, where it makes it sound worse than it is. Because I'm pretty sure all he's saying is like ass.
I'm going to kick your...
But so many times they bleeped it in a way where I was like, what the fuck did he just say? I don't remember. Like, I know they kind of pushed the envelope a bit more back then, but I didn't remember them being like, I'm going to fuck you up, JBL. Which is like what it sounded like a few times on this.
No, they censor all the times he says, I'm going to kick your ass. But they don't censor the blatant homophobia at all.
No, all the
years of some promos in wrestling. I thought that was weird. But I'm like, oh, okay. So you can't say ass, but you can now in the world of wrestling. Well, oh, boy, you can.
Oh, wow.
I say it a lot. Ass. He's an ass man. Mm. So Sunday we're going to go live at, what are we thinking, 2 p.m. And we're going to do a whole kind of preview for All In and everything this Sunday and chat about some Raw, SmackDown, and anything else in the world of wrestling. So we chatted about some G1. I'm sure we will maybe a little bit more on Sunday as well. So tune in for that. And should we talk about some NXT?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about some NXT. From August 13th, 2024, we get a recap last week, the show ending on a shocker.
Yeah.
With Wes Lee turning on his brothers, those rascals, beat them up, and he's all real mean. This Wes Lee, really sad, really shocking. I really love that angle.
Great. Last week's NXT was a great show, I thought. Some really good matches and a killer angle. Setting us all like up quite nicely for like this next chapter in NXT as the summer's coming to an end.
We see Wes walking in here and he's met by Kelly, who's trying to get a word in, like, hey, Wes, you know, excuse me, can I get a word in? Why did you turn on your brothers last week? And he says, this is going to take some time, but he'll explain. So he kind of brushes her off. When Ethan Page kind of walks past her, grabs a mic and puts his own, not quite the Miz thing on it, but an all ego mic.
Everyone had one this week, it seemed like. But yeah, he's got an ego mic.
All ego.
Yeah.
And he says that we're back live here on the USA Network. He's very happy that we're not on Sci-Fi anymore. Mm-hmm. And says that he's going to go to the ring because he's got something to say as his music hits. Ego. We got Booker T singing.
Booker's
it.
Singing along.
Love it.
He likes this one.
Yeah. I guess obligatory Booker T was on one tonight.
Yeah, he was, something about snakes and being bitten.
He really wanted Ridge to bite him. I'm not sure if he's into weird things or I just understood that wrong, but yeah, we'll get into that. So Ethan Page comes down to the ring. He's looking good with the NXT Championship on his shoulder. He holds it like Cody and Ric Flair. He holds it like that.
Like a, doesn't like just a wear title. Like a little...
Yeah, I like that. It's one of Cody's boys. He says, I'm Ethan Page, and last week I retained my title. I said what I was going to do, and the era of ego will continue. And he says he was kind of proud of seeing what Wes could do with his boys, but he shouldn't. If he's smart, he shouldn't try stepping up to him. And he saw what Pete Dunne did with Trick Williams and says that if you tried me, you couldn't grab my fingers. I'll loosen them, and you can't grab that title from me. And he says that it's not NXT, it's NXT. This is when Joe Hendry's music hits. Someone must have said his name. He comes out, the crowd sings along here, and he gets face to face with Ethan Page, and he said, Ethan, you say everyone wants to talk about you, NXT, but when you won the title, the last shot everyone saw was me. Referring to Heatwave right at the end of the show. Remember
the little stinger at the end.
He goes, and then last week after you retained your title, no one was talking about that. They were just talking about Wes. So in reality, seems like your ego is dying. And Paige cuts him off and says, I don't have to listen to you. He says, why don't you get your ass back to TNA? And Joe Hendry says, well, the reason I'm still here is to win that NXT title. As the crowd chant, we believe. Page says that everyone seems to believe, but I don't, except I believe your song makes me sick. I believe you're on your 14th minute to your 15 minutes of fame. And I believe I will expose you for the flash in the pan you are. This is where Hendry brings up that there are people that believe, like Kurt Angle, like Booker T, the head of the Joe Hendry fan club.
It's funny, Booker didn't see anything, but you just saw him in the background.
Yeah.
And like, I could just imagine, what the fuck did you say?
I booked you on one show. and then he says that even Shawn Michaels will make me make a believer out of you. And then the crowd start to sing his song, and he says that I'll see you, I'll beat you so I can represent here in Paris and London. He starts doing his song, and this is where Ego, Ethan Page, is like, stop with the song, and leaves. And when Joe Hendry's left alone in the ring, Wes Lee comes out of nowhere and super kicks Joe, kind of causing a little riff here, a little monkey wrench in the story, where Ethan Page sees this and just laughs. So more to come from that. But what did you think of this opening back and forth?
I'm not entirely, I know he's incredibly popular right now, the Joe Hendry thing. Yeah. I don't know if I necessarily want him in the title hunt, because I just don't buy him as a contender, mainly because he's signed with TNA, you know, but, and then your other two kind of people we're building up throughout the rest of the show are heels as well. So I like a lot of people involved. I don't know if this is the direction I'm particularly into for the world title. I think maybe you're still kind of making Paige look a bit of a joke since winning this title. I don't think he's come across particularly strong yet. Although he looks the part and he talks the part. I think they've weakened him quite a lot quite quickly and made him a bit of a comedy. He's your kind of Bo Dallas champion right now, where I think he's a bit better than that.
Yeah. I kind of agree with a few things where it's like Hendry, he's so over. So I guess they want to put him in the title picture, even though like I don't see them actually giving it to him. It'd be crazy if they did. But like he's impressed in what he's done so far and some of the stuff we've been watching. So I guess it's a smart way. But I see what you're saying about making Ethan Page still feel like maybe a bit of a like not the real champion.
It's like the whole Laura Mensa feud was kind of comedy based. And then here just being, I know it's a thing. It's babyfaces always want to embarrass the heels, right. But I feel he hasn't really had a week since winning this title, since before winning this title as well, where he's come across as a really dominant force.
Yeah.
Apart from really his debut. So and obviously entering a feud with Joe Hendry, it's going to be a lot more like goofiness as well.
Yeah, we'll see. Because if that, it should be Hendry that is his challenger, like realistically.
Yeah, I mean, I can see us having a four-way.
Yeah, as well. I as well. Same way he won it. So yeah. We go to the No Quarter Catch crew backstage. We see them grappling because Charlie's got a cup match later on. When Ren Sinclair is there and she's like trying to like, oh, you guys are wrestling. Oh, you wrestling, huh? And she says that you're going to bring the cup home. And she mentions that she's in the group and he's like, oh, yeah. And she goes, wow, you guys weren't joking about Tavion Heights. He really is in Japan. I thought you were meaning something else.
It's like, but I got my Wrestle Universe account and there he is.
And she says he's having a great time in Japan, which checked out some of those belly to bellies.
Oh, yeah.
Looking very nice. So they mentioned that they got to stay focused. And Charlie's still kind of annoyed with her. She's got the pose. Mm. It's very Pokemon for me. I don't know why. Is that like what Ash Ketchum or some Team Rocket used to do?
I mean, it's the same as, what was it, Catch Point? No, what were they called?
Yeah.
The Gulak.
Yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
It's very similar pose to that.
Yeah.
It's like edited.
But with the like...
With the peace sign. With
the peace. Girl power.
You don't get peace. That's from grabbing it. Is that right. it?
I don't know. But yeah, we'll see them a bit later.
I know they've kind of mentioned in passing. I would have thought, especially with how heavily they're featuring kind of TNA stuff right now, I would have thought you might want to give a bit more focus on this tournament that both Briggs and Heights are in. It's getting the same sort of AEW G1 treatment where... Yeah. In a passing comment, you might have someone say, oh, and Konosuke Takeshita is in Japan.
Yeah, he's in the G1 right now.
Meanwhile,
stealing the show.
But no, like, highlight packages or anything like that. Especially, I mean, Briggs has had a really strong start to this tournament as well. So I thought maybe you want to bring it up. Maybe once the tournament's ended or deeper in, we see something. But in recent years, like WWE haven't been shy of using footage from elsewhere.
And
they definitely have the money to do it.
They will.
Yeah.
Eventually. We go backstage. Our GM or assistant to the GM, I forget. But Ava, Young Rock, she's here with Stone and Stevie. And they got a bunch of the NXT women's roster with them. And they got one of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Tumblers. What do you call them?
The Tombola.
Tombola. Yes, yeah. We've talked about this before, yes. But wow, a tombola, which some people right now get the reference and some people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? As every time I hear that word. Same with cagoule. What the fuck is a cagoule?
You put your cagoule in the tombola.
So we see them with this tombola, and they're going to pull out different names from this thing to enter a gauntlet eliminator kind of tournament. That is it a tournament or a match?
So I had to look this up because we have had this before. Now, there were a lot of different words here.
Is the combine?
So you had eliminator, and I'm like, wait, are they just now using AEW's terminology where eliminator is a number one contenders match?
No,
it's an elimination gauntlet match. So if you remember, I think we've had a couple of these. The last one I can see was Stand and Deliver a couple of years ago, where it's essentially Elimination Chamber without the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
So it's two people start every 4 or 5 minutes, someone else enters, and then it's elimination style until you have one winner.
Cool. Okay. So they're pulling some random names out of this, and we see that Ren Sinclair is one of them selected here. So she's like, nice, and walks off right away. So she's ready for this thing. We'll get some of the names again later.
So yeah, the other thing as well here was we've already seen the family making their way to the ring, and Ava, who's the GM of the show, pulls out Rizzo.
Right.
And she's like, well, where's Rizzo? And someone's like, well, she's gone to the ring with Tony D'Angelo. Their match is like happening now.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So Rizzo's in it too.
Rizzo's in it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that leads us to our next match, the Heritage Cup match, the champion Tony D and the family and Rizzo taking on Charlie Dempsey of No Quarter Catch Crew with Miles and Ren ringside. We go to round one in this rounds match, and Tony keeps fighting him to the mat here. They're trying different submission holds. There's a great triangle into pinning combinations as the round ends when Dempsey finally gets Tony in this like knee bar ankle lock combo. But it's broken. We go into round two. There's an inside cradle exchange back and forth between the two. And finally, it's lifted. And this was very impressive from Tony into a forget about it from like the ground up, which was very impressive for a fall, and instantly gets a point here as we go into commercial break. When we come back, round three is pretty much over with. But there's uppercuts from Charlie and then knees him as the bell goes. So kind of need him after the bell, I'd say. And this is where we go into round four, but right before we see Ren like in the corner of Charlie and like slapping him and like,
so we thought we'd do this with Miles, was it recently, or Heights?
Yeah.
Where she just slapped the shit out of them.
Like, get in this, get in the game. So he goes into this. There's some big slams, a like belly to bellies from Tony, which were really nice. And then this great looking jackknife pin from Charlie to get the 1, 2, 3. So he gets a point. So it's one each here as we go into round five. There's a huge spine buster from Tony, but Charlie kicks out of it. There's a flying armbar into a triangle, into a powerbomb. Very Rampage Jackson here from Tony, but he kicks out of this. Eventually, there's, was it Miles who gets up on the apron? So then Stax gets in the ring and Tony throws him onto Miles. And then when the ref is like distracted with that, Tony jumps up like a cat, like Italian Kurt Angle, Tony D'Angelo, jumps up onto the turnbuckle to go like superplex Charlie. But Ren, when the ref wasn't looking, sweeps the leg, allowing Tony to fall backwards. Charlie notices this and Ren is like, do it. Charlie jumps down, hits a beautiful bridging, like locking butterfly suplex. With the shoulders down, 1, 2, 3, Charlie Dempsey regains his Heritage Cup. And then they celebrate as Ren holds up the cup and then goes, oh, yeah, this is yours, and gives it to Dempsey.
Which makes me wonder, we've seen this Heritage Cup be kind of free bird rules. I think this would be a great way to move this cup into the women's division.
Exactly what I was thinking as well, because it's like, wait, if we're doing the free bird rule with the rest of them, then why wouldn't she be able to as well? So
yeah,
that's a great idea.
You have enough stables in NXT right now with women attached. I think you've got Jada Parker with OTM. There's definitely other ways you could have this in the women's division for quite a bit, which I think would be good. And it would give the women something else to fight for and working this this different style with the rounds. I don't think there's much more with that Charlie can do with it, but being in this group is quite a fun idea. The family, I think it was time for them to drop it. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw a call up with Tony D'Angelo in the next few months.
Would you say with the family?
I think you could do it kind of
with Stacks.
Santos Escobar style, where it's maybe he starts off on his own, and then because I think Rizzo could definitely do with more time in NXT.
Rizzo's definitely facing Ren for this cut.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's definitely something coming out of this.
So I could see you moving maybe Tony and Stacks up, and eventually Rizzo joins the family. But I think she's the one of the three that definitely needs more time in NXT.
Same with Crucifino, I'd say. Like,
yeah,
he's exactly. only been with them a little while.
Exactly.
Too. But this was pretty fun. As for especially like rounds matches, they're not always my favorite, but these two definitely can actually mat wrestle, and that's what this a lot of this match was. And I like the finish. It's kind of backwards because the crowd were kind of like, you're cheating, but also like,
but that, yeah, that it's kind of Eddie Guerrero, almost, yeah. isn't it? Like, well, we like you. And I think both of these groups are in a similar position now where they are, I mean, the family are full on baby faces, but you know, murder yeah. people. And I think it's same with MQCC where they're meant to be heels, but we,
they also murder people.
They murder people and we kind of get a kick out of them as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been loving Charlie Dempsey in NXT, and he's definitely coming into his own. And like, again, the wrestling is definitely there. And I think he'll become a way more well-rounded character once he hits main roster eventually. But I've been loving Regal Jr. And I'll continue to say, even though Bryan Danielson may retire at Wembley Stadium, Daniel Bryan's got to face Regal's kid mm-hmm. one day. So yeah, congrats to the No Quarter Catch crew. We go earlier today, we see Lola Vice and Kalani Jordan. They're walking through the back when they see Tatum in the background playing with dolls. And she's upset, I guess, because she lost last week. And Lola goes over to talk to her like, hey, everything's going to be okay. And she says, oh, like, are you my friend? And she's like, oh, yeah, I don't like I could be your friend. And Tatum's like all weird about it. And we kind of see Wendy Chu lurking.
Yeah, like Tatum doesn't really trust Lola and basically says that it's okay for you to be all right about everything, essentially. You know,
yeah,
you're pretty and you were great in MMA and you've had everything handed to you. And Lola's like, well, I haven't really had everything handed to me. But Lola looking out for Tatum.
She's a nice girl.
Yeah.
She's nice now. We get a commercial for NXT going on the road October 1st in Chicago. They're going to be doing the first event of a 2-week thing, then with CM Punk announced,
yeah,
and then the week after the 8th with Randy Orton in St. Louis.
I think it's interchangeable.
Okay, sorry,
I'm interchangeable with it. Whoa. I'll be yeah. like St. Louis,
yeah, like a Joe Louis. So yeah, they're gonna be doing 2 weeks in the row of being on the road, and they mentioned that that's it, and then they're coming back. But as we'll get later, kind of Sean does explain like, we're going on the road for 2 weeks and then, you know, we'll see how it goes, which as much as like they're doing really well lately, I don't know if they're strong enough to be doing this on a weekly basis, a one-off thing here and there. Yeah. But
it depends though. Like I mean, we've seen how like house shows do.
Yeah.
Obviously you've got some of your stars on that, but if you did, I don't know, going to a taping, is that more attractive than just seeing the stars just phone it in or whatever? I don't know. I think they could run different venues though. I've said this for a long time. I don't think you necessarily need to think about sticking with like basketball arenas for NXT. I think try to run music venues. You know, TNA made Rebel look great.
Yeah.
Like doing that kind of thing. If you're on the road, you're still working in front of different crowds and things. You're not always going to have a CM Punk or Randy Orton to shift your tickets, but I do like the idea of them, you know, doing little loops here and there.
Yeah. CM Punk, Ethan Page kind of face to face.
Yeah.
Like a promo battle. I don't see Punk wrestling necessarily, but
no, I'd see him more as host.
See Randy wrestling with his WWE championship.
who do we have any people from Chicago in NXT right now?
Okay. I was going to say this a bit later, but I think, is it crazy to say AJ Lee on that show?
On the NXT show?
Yeah, for Roxanne, for that match.
I don't know if that's where you'd have her come back.
Like a big comeback?
I think you'd have something bigger.
On the main roster?
If she is coming back. Even if it is just as a on-screen appearance.
I'm trying to think of, other Chicago people. That's all they got, really. Ferris Bueller and CM Punk.
Yeah.
And their baseball team.
Yeah.
And PWT.
Yeah.
And the Bear. Oh, they got the bear.
Yeah.
They do got the Bear. They got us on that. We love you, Chicago. We go to our video package of, in case...
Cora Jade's from Chicago.
I was going to say she is, but she's still been injured or what? Or...
She did kind of tease on Twitter a month or so ago about a match with Roxanne.
She'll bring her skateboard.
She said something like, they said it would be 5 months to heal, and it's been 5 months or something like that.
So maybe Roxanne, Cora, face-to-face.
Yeah.
With the skateboard.
I mean, Yeah, you could have that. I imagine you're going to have some big championship matches on that show as well. If Cora returns before then, that's always something you could do on that show, or have Cora return on that show.
And then we got Ricky Starks, the Lucha Bros, sitting in the front row.
I definitely think that's when you'd be saving your, Daniel Garcia.
Oh, man. We love our Danny, but that's got to be this whole thing online is half of you wonder, is it being blown out of proportion, or half, some people are leaking some things. And it's like that guy, he was on NXT before. I think he was offered a deal. I don't remember the full thing. Remember, we watched him on NXT.
Brief. What was it? I'm trying to think. Was it Pandemic? He was there.
It's possible. He had a different name.
Guest spots. I'm trying to remember. Yeah.
And then we've seen him live here in Toronto. I mean, being Buffalo boy, right? So we love that guy, and it's got to be so painful to see him leave AEW. But they mistreated him. But
he appeared on an episode of 205 Live against Drew Gulak and competed against Tyler Rust. Remember that guy?
Wow.
On NXT.
It'd be crazy because one point it's what a gut punch. But, they kind of fumbled you a little bit in your storylines in the last little while, that WWE still might be the end game for some people, looking back at how things have changed, that maybe it wouldn't be such a crazy thing for him to try NXT because he'd be the fucking man.
I mean, I think that's the thing with AEW right now is if you are a Ricky Starks, Daniel Garcia level, you don't see Swerve is a very rare case of someone kind of breaking through and getting to that top level, but I still think you've got so many people who are going to be dancing around that world title picture where you are just going to be doing lateral moves. You go from one Jericho faction to another Jericho faction or whatever. Whereas I think there's more opportunity in NXT to at least be the guy in NXT. And then who knows, you could be an LA Knight who just gets huge on the main roster. And I would definitely, especially when they're still young, why not jump and see what's on the other side?
Yeah.
Remember the second week, the St. Louis show is head to head with AEW.
Title Tuesday.
So I could definitely see maybe debuting these guys on the CW premiere and then having a big match on the week two to go head to head. But And what the talk is with Lucha Brothers is they don't want to do NXT. They'd want to be straight to
Penta was on Twitter today basically saying hey, none of these reports are true. Okay. I'm in AEW right now. Come on, stop. Mm-hmm. But he didn't say the other stuff ain't true.
Yeah.
So, and I don't I don't watch AEW because I hate it. And I watch everything when I can, and I enjoy all wrestling, and I enjoy that these human beings can put their life on the line for entertainment. But I love me some AEW. That's still my favorite show to watch, but I'm trying to get to another. But Penta in WWE, that's it.
I think as the
be nuts for me, love it.
It will shake up the tag team division for sure. Absolutely. There's a lot of dream matches there that, they've done everything tag-wise in AEW. And if they're not going to do that singles run again, it's kind of, I admire Santana for trying to break out and do singles, but it's timing was wrong. It was, he was could show such up. A flooded like singles main event like scene in AEW that you're better off just sticking in your tag team in a way.
Santana, like I could see him showing up as well. I'm not too big on some of the stuff he's done since this break off. I really love them as a tag team, and I guess I just like it should have been, you guys should have been so much more. And champs, but Santana and NXT could also be a fresh coat of paint for him. And again, that's someone I'm not really that into, but I think Ricky Starks, Daniel Garcia, there's probably a few others that, you know, could be hopping over and showing up. And I think those 2 weeks specifically, you're going to see something.
I'd almost like Paige to be the one who brings these in.
Yeah.
You know, like
Ricky, especially
they will help him win, like retain his championship or whatever, and just do a big angle. And
yeah.
They're your outsiders of
exactly
NXT, right.
Ricky and Garcia, two of the four killers.
Yeah.
Not the pillars, the killers. So yeah, that'd be crazy. That'd be pretty cool. I mean, then they could have dream matches like in NXT against Lexus King.
Oh yeah.
That's who we're going to talk about right now. Yeah. Okay. Hey, I love when we fight over genres of music. Davey, what kind of music do you like?
I like rock and roll.
Oh, it's garbage, and I'm gonna fight you.
Oh, what? What do you like?
I like show tunes.
That ain't real music. That's just acting with noise.
So, if you've been following or listening to us, there's a feud going on. It's not rap is crap. It's EDM is crap.
Yeah.
It's dubstep is crap.
Yeah.
And if you've seen Deadpool movies, dubstep is not crap. I think that was one of the jokes in it. We see this video for Lexus King and Eddie Thorpe. Lexus King says that Eddie Thorpe's DJing is garbage and his music is beatbop music and it sucks. Thorpe references that he's a DJ and music is a big part of his culture, and it's disrespectful that that Lexus feels this way. So we get this video where King is describing this music, and music is important, says Lexus King. Lexus King is telling us that music is important. He's not wrong. You know when you like the one of the people you hate the most actually says something real and you're like, yeah, that happened here. Music is important, says Lexus King.
It is
like, I still don't like you. But now I noticed he's not only like getting a lineup on his facial hair, he's getting a lineup like on his, he's like squaring it up.
Oh,
like God. He's going next level. So I appreciate the depths. He says that Eddie is moronic as the music he creates, which sets up this match here, a blood feud, which genre of music is better. Booker T mentions that, you know, Lexus King might have a point because Guns N' Roses are pretty good. And Vic says, you like Guns N' Roses? Book says, yeah, Guns N' Roses. And he goes, sweet child of mine, and just starts going off about Guns N' Roses. So again, he's not wrong. So these two go at it. There's some boots from Lexus King reminding me that I don't think he's a very good wrestler. Thorpe comes back here with some chops and some strikes, but this is where King attacks the hand. When he was doing a DJ set in a corner of a room,
he broke his hand, didn't he?
He broke his hand, so there's this cast that he's been wearing, and he attacks it here. There is a German from Eddie for a near fall, and then King yet again attacks the arm and hits the coronation, which he like wraps the arms in like a straitjacket and swings and gets the 1, 2, 3. So I guess rock and roll is better.
This, I'm not enjoying this at all. This is their second match now. This is their second match, and they've been feuding for what feels like months. It's probably
years,
just a few weeks.
Generations.
It feels like so long. And, you know, in this feud, the guys insulted his, you know, his passion,
yeah,
his like second job, essentially the DJing thing,
right?
Oh, like, just imagine if someone was like, hey Braden, your podcast stuff's shit and stupid, and you're stupid, and now I'm gonna break your microphone and break your hand. I'd be like, yo, what the fuck? I'd be mad.
Yeah.
And then the bell rings and we just have this like fuck charisma vacuum, just two kind of anti-charisma people for me,
yeah,
in the ring going at it. Eddie's not wrestling like this guy broke his hand and his equipment a couple of weeks ago. He's wrestling like it's a fucking dark match or like a tryout match or something. And then the finish is just like, the coronation looks awful. That's stupid. I don't know what it is where he runs up behind you and goes, like, it's awful.
Yeah.
And just fuck, like, you hate each other. You know, you hate each other's music. You hate everything this person stands for. Throw a few punches at each other. It's like just, and now it's one apiece. So we're going to get another match with these two. Both these guys are in just 50-50 purgatory in NXT right now. All their feuds with anyone. I think it was the same with Dijak. You win this one, I'll win this one. They've not been elevated to the next position. We've not seen Eddie Thorpe, you know, come off the back of a big feud and it's like, right, now I'm going to challenge for the North American Championship. Lexus King, he's been losing to people who I consider in like the star-wise to be below him and then beating some people who's above him and just has been in this middle ground for what seems like a long time. I really don't. This was my least favorite thing on the show.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely the low point. And like Eddie Thorpe, he was always like a pretty boring wrestler before he got to WWE. But they tried already a few different things, and it's not connecting. And then you're tied up with Lexus King, who is one of the most boring wrestlers, and it's not effective heel work. It's just like he's got nothing when the bell rings, so it's very hard to watch his matches because they're so boring. But then on top of that, like the match sucks. The storyline is weird. Like, what's the next step in this feud? A silent disco match? Both got different headphones playing different music, and that's how we can get along here? I don't know.
Yeah, but you've got to, like, this has to DJ a set, and Eddie's got to play Guitar Hero. And then at the end, they're like, you know what? I respect what you do.
Yeah, like, you know,
Lexus doesn't even play. He just enjoys listening.
Yeah, yeah. That would, it would be well. So better if it was like the Drifter, you know, Elias. Like, yeah, yeah.
It's like, dude, fuck off. Yeah. Like, I'm legit like
DJing. You're basically a roadie. This, yeah.
And you like pressing play on AC/DC on your iPhone? Like, right. Fuck off, man. Like,
yeah. So Rock and Roll got a W tonight, but I think the real king, Elvis, is rolling in his grave.
And you can hear us talk more about Rap is Crap in The Champ is Here, episode one, which is a big basis of this JBL John Cena feud.
Yes, lots of rap.
Yeah.
Rap is not crap. Dubstep's okay, though. So we continue NXT. We go to a video for Trick Williams. He's talking to us, the camera, and Pete Dunne. He says, okay, Pete, let's talk about it. I haven't figured it out, but I will. You see, I saw problems. I heard that you got jumped when you were 18. Well, I got jumped too. I got robbed. I chased the people, three dudes in an apartment, and I got beat up. But you know what? By the end of that year, I got mine back. And just like when my friend Carmelo jumped me and turned on me, I got my win back. Biggest NXT main event ever. And just like you attacking me, well, I'll get you back. And says, I will figure it out. And I don't want advice from you. I want a rematch. And I'm a figure yo ass out. So he's mad that Pete got the one up on him. But he says, I'm going to take you a bit more serious.
Yeah, I like this. I like Trick kind of being like, hey, I've lost before. And then I figured it out and I've won. So
yeah,
I know how to beat you next time. I guess he's someone as well who could, I guess it could potentially be a five-way then for this. What they do, because we just had the four-way,
yeah,
at Heat Wave, where they will go that route, or I think you could keep Trick a bit busier with other things until he goes this title again.
It's possible we get Pete.
I think Pete maybe beats him a second time.
Or it's one apiece and then we get a rematch at No Mercy. Or it is at No Mercy, the rematch, possibly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I just wonder if he's going to be involved in the title match.
Yeah, because I think so.
It's been like 3 weeks in a row he's been kind of bringing it up.
So yeah, we cut from the Trick video, but it shows Pete watching it backstage, kind of near the makeup area, because in the background we see people getting their makeup done. And he goes, he's watching, and Kelly kind of interrupts and goes, so what are you thinking, Pete? Are you thinking round two? And he goes, why? Why should I give Trick another match? He's still figuring it out, but there's two types of people. People like Trick who bitch and moan, and then men like me who just shrug it off and move forward. And I'm moving forward by looking at the NXT championship because I'm here in NXT and that's what I want. As he walks off, and then the camera, it's like a whole episode of, like, I don't know, like the West Wing or something. The segments just never end. It keeps going from one thing and the camera's never ending, where it goes into the women here at the makeup booth where we see Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson, and they're kind of next to Fallon, Jasmine, and JC, and they start kind of bickering back and forth, talking about the gauntlet and how, like, some of these people deserve it, and who, what do you mean who deserves it? And Jakara is kind of standing there getting involved. So I imagine we get these four in a match down the line. But Metaphor has definitely shifted, like, completely babyface.
Yeah, yeah, I see them as pure babyface now.
Yeah.
They did the thing on Raw last night as well with Pete, kind of saying what he said on NXT about, I got given this stupid nickname, right, Butch. And now he's playing it up, like, don't call me that name. Definitely encouraging Butch chance to be coming his way.
Butch.
As for the women,
only in wrestling is it okay for you to just yell Butch at someone walking up.
Yeah.
Butch. Imagine taking a friend to the show being like, excuse me, what did they call
it? Yeah.
Butch.
But as the women, yeah, I guess there's a lot of pissed off women who aren't being drawn in this tournament.
I mean, there's like 30 women on the roster, maybe more, and they're like six people is not.
It's one thing, like, I know Booker's on one, but him going like, no, you should be earning an opportunity, I'm like, that's what the match is for, to earn that opportunity. But
I guess he doesn't like drawing at random.
Yeah, he doesn't like open challenges either,
right? Does he? Maybe he's lost them, yeah, like best of seven series. Mm-hmm. We see Kalani Jordan, and she joins the commentary desk for Lola Vice taking on Tatum Paxley, which was set up earlier tonight. Tatum sends Lola into the corner and hits this, I've never seen this, innovative running splash into the back, into the, like, the ropes of Lola here. This is when Lola comes back, though, hits her and sends her into the corner, and then yells, I'm a Latina, as she runs at her and hits her with her ass. Really nice. There's then a roll through from Tatum, which she counters and locks in a single leg crab. I thought this was very impressive. I know Kalani is the one who does all the RVD stuff, but this was straight out of RVD Landstorm playbook from Paxley. As kind of Kalani's watching, when Wendy Chu appears and attacks Kalani, puts her in the Cobra Clutch, the sleeper there, when then it's Paxley who gets up and hits the, I'm calling it the Pax Turner, because that's kind of what it looks like.
This move is great.
Yeah.
Like, she hits it so crisply as well. It's what, like a package?
Like a page turner almost. Like, like a DVD page turner kind of
thing. Yeah, I guess so.
It looks cool, but she gets up hitting it, goes up top, which she usually hits the 450, but Lola gets up, so like Paxley lands on her feet, turns around and runs right into the spinning back fist, the 1-2-3. Lola Vice pins her, shakes her booty, but then also helps her up, like, hey, you did a good job there. So the new improved Lola Vice is really nice to people. And poor Kalani got taken out by Wendy. So they kind of watch on, like, hey, Wendy, what's going on? So we're not sure if Paxley and Wendy are necessarily...
Well, no, Wendy attacked Paxley last week.
Yes, exactly, right. So we get Kalani Wendy next week is what's announced after this.
I thought the match was actually pretty good. I think Tatum's improved a lot, and maybe we haven't... Since this gimmick, we haven't actually really seen as much of her actual wrestling character kind of takes over quite a lot, but I thought both her and Vice look really good here. And I like that Lola's being nice to Paxley, where Kalani maybe hasn't so much, and maybe Lola can bring Tatum back to the light.
I think you're missing where that's going, and I was right all along. Kalani is a mean girl. She just doesn't know it yet. She's like inadvertently mean to people without knowing. She's just like, don't really care about you.
Yeah.
So I think we're getting that heel turn from Lonnie very soon.
Definitely. You think soon? I can see it being a slow burn, slow build, yeah. But I think the seeds are definitely there.
Yeah.
This month on the Post Wrestling Cafe, it's your chance to travel back to November 2004 as Wei Ting and I review WWE Raw featuring Trish Stratus and Lita headlining the show. Bruce Lord and Karen Peterson are going to be covering New Japan's Destruction in Kobe event, and MCU later tackles Agatha All Along. All of that plus Rewind to SmackDown and Collision Course weekly and ad-free versions of Rewind to Raw and Dynamite. $6 a month unlocks it all at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go backstage. Ava's with more of the women's roster, and she's going to spin that thing, that tombola.
Rizzo shows up and just cracked me up here.
What did she say?
Because she's like,
oh, yo. Probably.
She's like, oh, it's been a tough night for the family, but, you know, drawing my name from that tombola. she gives Ava a hug, and Ava's just, you know, a plank of wood.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Rizzo's so ridiculous. It's so like high school Bugsy Malone, and yeah. I don't mind it.
Yeah, she's in Grease Lightning or something. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. She's like Rizzo from Grease. I guess that's how she got the name. Is it Rizzo in
Rizzo? Rizzo's in Grease. Yeah,
Rizzo. So she's got the numbers. She pulls out Jada Parker, Kendall Gray, Carmen Petrovic. So is that six there?
That's six.
Who was in the first one? Rizzo?
Rizzo.
Oh, man. We just talked about it. Oh, man. I'm blanking. Do I have to go through my notes?
Rizzo, Jen, Jada, Kendall, Carmen. There was the other one and the other one.
Ren Sinclair.
Ren Sinclair. And who's the sixth?
Oh, I didn't realize. Maybe I didn't see who the sixth was. So I guess I'll have to take a look at that.
Did you pick up Carmen's new catchphrase that she tried out here?
No, I didn't.
I wonder if she'll try it again. But she said, as she gets drawn, she's like, yes. And I think she's with Brinley. And she's like, yeah, it's time for that shing shing action.
Whoa. Shwing shwing.
Shwing shwing.
Shwing shwing. What is the wing?
I don't know. Shwing shwing or shing shing. I guess it's the noise of her sword.
Shing shing.
She's like, it's time for that shing shing action. It's like,
that's a little weird.
Don't know if that's going to catch on, Carmen, but.
Shwing shwing.
Keep trying.
Shwing shwing. Definitely is. Shwing.
Shwing shwing. Wayne's
World. Shwing. Showing. Okay, so Ren, Adriana, Sol Ruka. When was she picked? What did I miss?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, she's so chill. Like, she doesn't make a big deal of it. Yeah, she's true. Like, yeah, cool.
Okay, but so she's winning.
Sol? So you get Sol. This is for the women's championship.
Yeah.
Face Roxanne.
Yeah, I think it's Sol.
Sorry.
Ren Sinclair, Adriana Rizzo, Sol Ruka, Jada Parker, Kendall Gray, and Carmen Petrovic.
And this is for Little Mercy. Yeah, so I'd imagine Sol. Sol makes most sense.
And that'll be a banger.
Yeah.
Sol's been putting on some good stuff. But yeah, I'm liking the new crop of some of these young talent. So this is a good idea. Anyone who've never gotten big shots. I'm sure they've gotten title opportunities before, but there's a chance. So we go from that, and then we go to Wesley. He comes out. He makes his way to the ring. He's got a lot to say after the shocking turn of events from last week. He's got lots of boos here at the NXT crowd at the PC. He says, I get it. I get it. I showed the world last week. I showed the world that Zach let me down again. He says, 2 years ago, he first let me down when he left. We were the greatest tag team in NXT history. And he left me all by myself. And then people doubted me. All of you people doubted me. They said, I heard what you said. What's he going to do now? What's he going to do? And then I busted my ass and became the greatest North American champion of all time. And then I watched my friends reunite in TNA, and they were killing it while I broke my back. And I was the one in this team that would be doing the driving from town to town. I would be the one squashing all the beefs, waking you up for airplane flights, and all. He keeps listing all these things, and he goes, I was the one taking care of you. So I see the vision. And that was beating the hell out of you. And basically calls him a bunch of dead weight. Mentions that Trey and Wentz can go back to TNA and be a wonderful tag team. I felt like that was supposed to be a real big shot. Like, yeah, you can go be in TNA. He then says, well, I aspire to focus on bigger and better things like NXT champion. So on behalf of WWE superstar Wesley, I wish you the best in all your future endeavors. Mm. That's definitely the nail in the coffin there. He then is interrupted as Pete Dunne comes out and says, hey, I don't want you focusing on the NXT championship because I beat Trick, who was the last champion. So therefore, I am focusing on the champion. When Joe Hendry comes out and he attacks them, so it's a big three-piece pull apart by all the jobber cops and refs as they're all taken aback, which we later learn becomes some sort of a match next week. But what did you think of Wesley's explanation?
I'm not sure. I thought, like, yeah, makes sense. He's, you know, he's pissed off that his partner screwed up and had to leave the company. And I think they did quite a good way. And obviously they've never addressed on TV why he went away.
Yeah.
They're not going to say, your ex accused you of being abusive and then you dress up as a Nazi on Snapchat or something.
Right.
You know, stuff they're not going to say on TV.
Yeah.
But I thought they did a good job of dancing around that with, you know, I've always been the one when you're fucking up that I'm waking you up when you're going to be late to a town.
Yeah.
You're always getting in, like running your mouth and getting in trouble, and I'm stopping those fights. So I thought they did a good way of kind of insinuating, you know, he did something in his personal life that fucked it up. But what I found interesting was the crowd were cheering him at times in this. And I think it's because we have followed this guy's career. And I think, you know, him sort of saying, even as a heel, when everything was like down, like my partner goes, and I was always seen as a tag team guy, and then I had to really pick myself up and be a top singles guy. The crowd are like,
yeah,
you did that. So he came across more of a tweener than this despicable heel that just stabbed his brothers in the back. And I think when you've got Ethan Page as a heel as your champion right now, so him going for the title as heel just doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So I wonder if this is going to be kind of a bit of a short-term thing, and when he eventually starts challenging, has kind of shifted into a babyface role again, but with a bit of an edge, perhaps.
Yeah, I'm happy that he got a bit of an edge, especially last week. The angle was so well done and showed off some of his like acting skills and chops. Here, he's gotten so much better as a promo. So it wasn't necessarily the promo itself, but it was kind of what he was saying, like you said, like, actually, wait, I still want to cheer for you. Because imagine he cuts a promo where like, oh, instead of attacking the Rascals, right? Mm. Like, we lost and like, see you guys later. Have fun in TNA. Hope you become champions there. But I'm going for the NXT title because I'm focusing on myself again. And like, that's you'd still cheer for him.
Yeah.
So he's saying, you know, yeah, I just beat those guys up because screw them and go be in TNA and stuff. But I imagine we see Wentz attack him next week, help maybe costing him the match, which sets up Wentz versus Wes at No Mercy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he pretty much challenged him here to the match at No Mercy, which is great. I don't know. I thought he sounded good. I think the turn has it does make sense. You know, for the last couple of years, he's been, you know, he leaves NXT, doesn't he? He walks out because he lost the NXT North American title and he needed his friends come back and all that. So he's clearly been going through emotional trauma,
stress,
which has led to this moment. But yeah, I felt I still wanted to cheer the guy at the end of this, so I don't know how successful a promo that is then.
Yeah, I think maybe going a bit more into it, I like the Future Endeavored line. I think that's pretty like nasty and ties in with like, if you follow, you follow, and if you don't, you don't. Mm-hmm. It might fly over your head, but I liked it. But I know what you mean. Like, oh, you said some things that I definitely, it's like when someone like you're supposed to be the bad guy tells you their reasoning why, you're like, I kind of understand.
You know what it reminded me of in Whiplash when Miles Teller breaks up with his girlfriend.
Okay.
And he says to her, like, I'm sorry, I've got to end this. You're a distraction. I want to be the best drummer that's ever lived.
Right.
And I can't do that when I'm going on pizza dates with you and spending my time doing that. That's what I kind of got from here, where it's a bit of a mean thing to do, but also like, yeah, you should be, your boys are not in NXT. They work for another company.
Yeah.
You didn't win the tag titles. You should be focusing on going to the NXT title. So yeah, bit of a dick move, but I agree.
Yeah. A little like post nut clarity. Yeah. You're like, yeah, okay. You know what? Actually, I don't want to be with you rascals. You're too rascally.
I think Pollock used the same analogy on Rewind to Raw last night as well.
When his face was frozen. he's not going to like that one. I sadly have to give him something this week. You know what we have to part with this week?
I know.
John is having a little soiree with the post-wrestling, the select few of post-wrestling. And I think it's time I bring over the Terry Funk branding iron.
Branding iron.
Dickie Bird gave it to me. think that's time to give it to John.
Yeah.
So bring it to him. Anyways, what were we talking about?
Wesley.
Yeah. Poor Wes. I still feel for him. He's lit. And I hope we get Wentz versus Wes at No Mercy. I hope that he doesn't go for the title yet, because I still think there's more juice in him being a babyface when he goes for the title.
Yeah. Like it's weird with Pete kind of going for the title as well. We've got two heels going for this NXT title right now.
I think No Mercy will be Wentz versus Wes, Pete versus Trick, and Joe versus Ethan Page.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. We see Axiom and Nathan Frazier backstage after this pull apart that we saw in the ring. And we see these two and they go, yeah, we haven't been on the same page as of late, but that is over. You see, last week we retained the titles, even though we accidentally hit each other, some super kicks. But today we're champs and we changed in the same locker room. And I don't know why they had to tell us that, but they're on the same page and they're friends again. And tonight they're going to retain just like last week. Let's freaking go.
Well, remember last week, Frazier couldn't find Axiom, and Axiom was like, I decided to give you space and all that. So they haven't been, you know, training together or being with each other.
Yeah. So we see Tony D and the family backstage. He's pretty upset about the loss when he's trying to talk to the camera, when Oba Femi just straight up interrupts and walks right in front of him, talks to the camera and says, yeah, last night on Raw, Otis, we came face to face. I didn't see this. I imagine he showed up.
He was front row kind of watching the Alpha Academy match.
He's someone who's going to be not in NXT very long. I don't imagine. He calls out Otis.
Pat was like, oh, who's that guy? And he's like, this guy's a big deal.
Yeah.
We should be looking at Oba Femi.
He says, we came face to face and I hope tonight you're ready for battle. But you can kind of see in the background, Tony D and the family are like, yo, what the fuck? So we're clearly going to go to this
match.
So
we've done this a few times now. So, and now Tony's lost the championship. I guess that's your North American match at No Mercy.
No Mercy, for sure, yeah. But Chase is like the Raptors here, looking awesome.
Yeah, what's with the numbers? I think Ridge was 13.
Oh, that's my favorite number.
Riley was 44. Duke's number 8. Theo was number 3. I wonder what the significance is, or if there is any.
Okay, Ridge is 13, which is my favorite number, which is bad luck. And remember, he's bad luck because he kept hurting people. So that's definitely his. Duke, what was his? 44? It's got to be something involving...
Riley's 44.
Oh, Riley's 44. Maybe he's a big fan of plus 44 because of his girlfriend. Isn't that your British phone dial?
Yeah.
And a band? Maybe he's a big fan of Travis, Tom, or whatever. Sorry, who else? Duke's
number 8.
Crazy 8, because he's a gambler.
Okay, yeah. Thea's number 3.
The age of Ridge's daughter.
Right.
Because she reminds him of his daughter. There,
remind me of my little girl.
I just nailed that for you. I'm probably completely off with every single one, but nah, I'm right. They look good. They should sell these jerseys, honestly. Duke apologizes to Ridge and says, I'm sorry, I'm not one to do this, but I have to. I'm sorry, Ridge. We were taken off guard by you and we didn't know what your true intentions were, but I know now that you are a part of Chase U. And tonight it doesn't matter who's in the match. We come home as champions, as a team. And Ridge says, oh, thank you. You do it better than me, but thank you, Duke. And then mentions that goes through the team saying I'm happy that I'm here. He goes, Thea, you came out of a bad situation just like me and you believed in me. So I can't tell you how much this means. And my intentions are pure. So I can't thank you enough. And this is our main event tonight.
There was again he says, whatever it takes, which he's been saying before all of these championship matches. And every time Andre Chase has looked whatever it takes. We're not going to cheat. But again, leading to nothing. No cheating.
Yeah, the red herring of Chase U since the beginning of time will continue on.
Like Triple H, is known for his long-term storytelling, the slow burn. Sean is like, hold my beer.
Sean, you know,
Sean Chase U stuff.
Sean definitely, you'll be holding onto that beer for a while.
They're just bottom of the second or whatever it is.
Sean is also just maybe it's like John Cena. For everyone's like, he'll just turn heel one day. It's like, keep waiting, keep holding on for that because Chase U are never breaking up, but Chase U later tonight. We go to the North American Championship match. Oba Femi, the champ, defending against Otis. Can I still call him Otis?
Maxine calls him Otis.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked Maxine's outfit.
Yeah.
The alpha top that she had on.
She's a little sad. Ivy turned on her last night.
Yeah, sorry about that, Maxine, but she's here. This is the Meat Madness match. Don't call it Meat Mayhem. That's the other show. These two start hitting boulder shoulder blocks here. I guess, would it be weird to say that these two were exchanging meat?
They were slapping meat, yeah.
They were slapping meat here as we go to break. When we come back, there's a sidewalk slam from Otis for a two count. This is where Booker T says, don't sleep on Oba Femi because Oba could damn near well be the next big thing in WWE, which I think just look at him and go, yep,
yeah,
see it. Yep, absolutely. There's some big chops ringside when Oba uppercuts Otis into the steps and then back in the ring, hits elbows in the corner, and then Tozawa's ringside with Maxine, and he kind of doesn't get involved, but he's on the apron cheerleading, so Oba gives him a chop for good measure, which gets Otis very angry, and then he attacks Oba in the ring, hits him with lariats, and then the caterpillar doesn't work quite as well as the worm, because I don't know how to spell caterpillar, and I don't think he can't get that many. Because remember the worm, you go W. Wait, people were
trying to... Well, he does the W on the jumps beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. I love it. He hits this for a two count, the elbow drop, and then hits a Vader bomb, but Oba kicks out at 2.999. And then Otis goes up top for another one. And I don't know about you, but the question I had in my mind when I saw this match was announced is, how can we get Oba Femi to powerbomb Otis? This is how.
I mean, we've seen Oba carry two men.
Yeah,
on a
Otis is like two men. Mat.
Yeah,
so Otis is up for the Vader bomb, which is a perfect setup for Oba to lift him out of that, and then a sit down power bomb. 1, 2, 3. Oba retains.
Pretty fun match, I thought. I think what Oba Femi has, and we've seen so many, big man projects over the years, especially under Vince, where this guy's huge and strong. Let's push him to the moon. But so often they don't have the just charisma and aura that Oba Femi has. Just in his walking through the corridors backstage, barging past Tony D'Angelo or whatever, he's just got it. And he's still, he's still got a way to go in the ring, but has these feats of strength, which are just so impressive, but just has this swagger to him and this coolness about him that makes you realize, yeah, for me, this guy is not going to be a star because he can powerbomb Otis. It's more than that.
Yeah.
It's the way he carries himself and all that, which it's hard to teach. And I think he's just got it. And I thought Otis was fun here, playing a little bit more seriously than we often see him in his wrestling.
He hit a worm.
Still, yeah. I mean, I'm sure Scotty Too Hotty hit a worm against Dean Malenko in Backlash 2001.
He did it against JBL, as I watched this week
for
John Cena show.
But I thought it was a pretty fun meat match here.
Meat match. We love meat. Who doesn't love some good old meat? I like this match too. I think Oba will be a huge star, and Otis is a fun character still. I don't know what you do with him, Maxine and Tozawa, after there's American Made now. So
they're still really popular though. Yeah. Like Otis especially gets huge reactions on Raw.
Yeah.
And I mean, they'll be feuding with American Made quite a bit, I feel.
We go to a video here for Brooks Jensen. He's sitting down, he's talking to a camera, and he's talking about how, yes, I know, I've been spiraling out of control. I guess you could say I hit rock bottom. And some said they were looking out for me, and they're showing like him and Briggs. And he says that, but some of those were just empty words. But there was one man who did vouch for me, who stuck his neck out for me and made sure no matter what that I made it home every single night. And it shows him getting in the car a few weeks ago. We saw, he then says, this place is cutthroat. You don't know, but now finally I have someone to have my back, a leader. And then you kind of see him look away from the camera and go, does that work? And it pans over and we see Sean Spears and a whole like documentary crew pretty much filming this and goes, yeah, that was perfect.
Yeah.
What a great twist to this video.
I thought this is really good.
Yeah. Pretty creative.
I like that everything he said about Spears as well was stuff Briggs has been
doing
for him, you know, vouching for him, trying to get him his job back. You know, you can imagine the, again, waking him up, like driving him to places, all that, but he's attributing it to Sean Spears. But I love the thing afterwards, like, and cut.
It's like, how's that?
That was good. That was good.
And so it's like him working, you know, puppet master again, kind of the learning tree, learning chair, but in a weird,
better.
Yeah. Way better.
Way better. Less, I mean, it got a laugh out of me, but way more serious. And I like this. And I think if Spears sticks in this role, where I don't need to see Spears challenging
for the
title, and to be more of someone to help elevate Brooks, I'm completely fine with that. And I thought this was a good segment.
We love our Brooks Jensen here, but I think they're like adding a layer to this. I think at first it's like, oh yeah, he's just like, he's aligned with the learning chair guy. Yeah. But instead they've added like another layer, like a third dimension, like, oh, you thought it was one way. It's actually a bit more in depth. And I think Brooks has been doing that. I think everything he's been showing since this like character is trying things that we haven't seen. Mm. And I think definite an ECW like throwback, like trying to break those Raven, Pillman
as well. Yeah, there's that. But I think also remember how young this guy is. It plays into that kind of teenage angst, isn't it? It's so many people as a teenager, you know, lash out at their parents, the people they want the best for them and are trying to help them the best. In this case, that's Josh Briggs in this story, hanging out with the bad kids because they think, you know, they know what it's all about and what's going on. And I think it works for his character because he is so young. And we've seen it. I mean, I think Josh Briggs, you know, there was that, what was it? The guy who's canceled now, the director's son, who did that wrestling is wrestling. Yes. And it was essentially taking the character of
Triple H
as if this was all his entire story arc, right from being terrorizing. And I think you can see it with this guy being the virgin, trying to find that girlfriend, to, you know, getting the hot girlfriend who's changing him and realizing he's being manipulated, to then, you know, thinking he's figured it all out and is a grown up, but then is losing and his partners go off in different directions.
And they
won. That pisses him off again. So I think it makes sense. And I think the character of Spears manipulating him this way is quite effective.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they did a good job. And that's, you know, someone I definitely criticize Sean Spear, like, why is he here? But when it's done smart and thought out, this was some of the best stuff. And all he needed to say was two lines.
Yeah.
So like, and it worked really well. He thought he looked menacing in his jacket.
Yeah.
The jacket made sense. Yeah, when everyone's really dressed normal and he's like, I'm, you know, some supervillain, essentially. So there you go. I've turned the corner on Sean Spears being in. I turned the corner from Heatwave, definitely.
Yeah, I mean,
that match was good. So, but I thoroughly enjoy this. Go Brooks, the young bull. We see that video, and then we see Idris and Malik watching it backstage, and they go, oh man, tough about Brooks. Like, you know, he's talking about Briggs there. What's he talking about? They're kind of saying like, oh, he's a lost cause. And
these two need to join Sean Spears, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because these two have like, but Brinley's not even hanging out with them anymore.
Oh, true.
She was just hanging out with Carmen.
Well, she got a match next, but.
And yeah, I think these two have been lost for a long time. There's been no elevation with them. They started doing the bad luck gimmick, which has kind of gone a little quiet, but you could pick that up again and have them join this group and try and do something with them, because I feel they've been there a few years now with not much progression.
Malik mentions I was in the same class. I was brought in at the same time as Brooks.
Right, yeah. So you're talking like 2-3 years, aren't you?
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. You need someone else to join Sean Spears.
It can't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It can't just be Brooks.
Yeah, we're going to see.
So I'd put these two with them.
We see them walk off kind of like bad mouthing Brooks. So I imagine we do get a match down the line, but then we see Hank and Tank were also there and they start talking about like, ah, oh, we did such a great job last week and we fought off those good brothers by making fun of us and our food that we have a match against them. So next week it's Hank and Tank versus the good brothers.
Yes.
And then they honk honk.
They're showing an awful lot of patience. You know, these two fucked up their party a week ago.
Yeah.
And we'll get our own back in 2 weeks.
Next week, we're going to fight you. I love Hank and Tank, but they're stealing one of my favorite up-and-comer pro wrestlers' catchphrases. I know Hong Kong isn't necessarily original, but the Mother Truckers.
Okay.
Holly Hood, Haley right. J on Wow. Literally, and every promo and in the middle of every match, do the Hong Kong. And I know it's not the most thought out thing, but Hank and Tank, come on. That's what I thought of right away. Maybe because I watch Wow, but I digress. We see a commercial here. I thought this was pretty cool. Tryouts at SummerSlam last weekend. Was it last weekend? A week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago. We talked about this briefly, that they actually put tickets on sale for this out there, but they were very expensive. Mm. Just to go to this was about like $700, maybe 800 Canadian, 1,000 Canadian possibly. But I think this would be pretty cool. And hopefully I'm pretty sure this is open up to some media, but down the line, this would be something like, I think could gain a lot more interest. It shows all the different people trying out for WWE, and you see people running drills in the ring. You see Shawn Michaels scouting. There was a clip from this. They didn't quite show on NXT here tonight, but I'm not sure if you saw the clip of Shawn Michaels and CM Punk ringside at this tryout where Punk goes, "Hey, Shawn, you got a lot of real good looking talent coming up here." And Shawn kind of looks at him and double takes and laughs and goes, "Yeah, we do, don't we?" And then they look at each other and go, ha, 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 ha. Yes, thank you, Sean and Punk, for everything you do. So they show like this tryout thing, and who knows, maybe some of the people from this will be future stars. And then into the next match, Izzy Dame versus Brinley Reese. They highlight from the past SummerSlam tryout weekends of these two a few years ago.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because they also had, you mentioned Malik earlier, is like, oh yeah, Brooks came in and we were in the same tryout together. And then I think we glossed over it, but Brinley and Carmen had a conversation earlier in the show where they're like, wow, can you believe it's been 2 years since our tryout?
Right.
So all throughout this show, they're kind of pushing these tryouts. Things. And yeah, whether it is to try and get it in people's heads to buy tickets to these things, or whether, you know, plans for another sort of documentary about the PC and all that is something. They were hitting quite heavy on Raw as well. You know, some of these Olympic athletes who are in the next in line program, the female 100-meter sprint winner and that kind of thing. So just, yeah, it seemed quite a lot on this show that they were telling you about these tryouts and things.
I need Ray Gun signed to an NIL NXT deal. Breakdance.
Yeah.
Come out. I thought it was pretty cool that they like referenced this and showed this and brought it. They mentioned Izzy Dame being a volleyball player, so then left that to be in WWE, and I think that's pretty cool. Imagine you're a volleyball or like a soccer player, a baseball player, long jumper, and you go, "Now I'm going to sign with WWE," and then in a few months, Julia comes in and just kicks the shit out of you, makes you go, "Huh, maybe I should have."
What was I doing?
Kept playing with the volleyball. But yeah, I thought this was unique, and they don't always reference this, but I thought it was great. So Izzy Dame versus Brinley Reese is our matchup right here, because Izzy was mad that she wasn't one of the six competitors selected, as was Brinley, but Izzy's just more mean about it. We see there's some quick pin attempts from Brinley here, definitely showing some improvement with like trying to get Izzy down to the mat. Izzy hits a tilt-a-whirl backbreaker and then like a sit-out, almost like the lowdown for a near fall. And then a Canadian backbreaker from Izzy Dame, and then but only a two count as well. Reese comes back with like a series of trying to pin attempt. She drops Izzy to the mat and then kind of gets in her face and starts beating down on her and yells at her, "Stop being a bully," and then goes for like a front flipped buckshot essentially, but gets
the honor roll.
Yeah, it gets booted in midair, which looked good, and then a sidewalk slam, like the power slam into the sidewalk slam from Izzy for the 1, 2, 3.
I thought Brinley looked pretty impressive here. She had some really nice athletic looking moves. The honor roll she hit early in the match looked really nice. I think it was kind of the most we've seen from both of them right now wrestling. We definitely saw more from Izzy here, who, you know, she, maybe it was the way she was dressed today as well, but really reminds me of Charlotte in stature. You know, pretty tall, but yeah, similar kind of build to Charlotte. But I think she needs to be just watching a whole load of Roderick Strong tapes.
Backbreakers.
She's doing these backbreakers, and if she can make that her, like, her thing, you know, hitting a backbreaker out of nowhere or whatever, like those kind of things, could get her a bit more notice, because I do feel she's a character that I keep on forgetting is on this show, and she's one of those people that starts having a match. I'm like, oh yeah, okay, this girl.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's been doing them a lot, you know, using her height to, you know, hit those torture racks and things, start mixing it up with those backbreakers.
Yeah, you know what? It wasn't my favorite thing on the show, but I can see, like, they're still very new. They mentioned they just signed 2 years ago, and they're here on NXT on TV. So I see promise from both of them. I like Brynlee Rees, and I think she already has a lot of, like, excitement that might not work with Idris and Malik, but something tells me, like, she's got something.
She looks good in ring.
Yeah.
My issue is, I think her character is, it's trying to be Thea Hale, and Ren Sinclair's kind of doing the same thing now with more effect.
Right.
I just think the character needs something else. Different.
Yeah.
Because we've got enough young, bubbly, excitable girls in NXT.
Fair enough. Yeah. Maybe she'll just become evil. That's also another thing. Or spooky.
Yeah.
There's a few different
avenues. Become
a
ghost.
Yeah. There's a few different things you could do here. Still murder anyone.
Yeah.
Please. We go backstage. Ava is with Kelly, and she's mentioning, hey, Ava, next week's, you know, shaping up to be a pretty stacked show. And this gauntlet match that you got going on with these six women, the winner faces Roxanne at No Mercy. That could be great. And then on top of that, we got a triple threat, Wesley, Joe Hendry, and Pete Dunne. And the winner faces Ethan Page at No Mercy. And she goes, yeah, you know, NXT, we're on fire right now. When Roxanne Perez interrupts, and she goes, really? This is how you're fighting? You're finding a new competitor for me? This gauntlet? So no one who's challenged me before? Well, that's because no one's on my level. And doesn't matter who wins this, but they can't beat me. They think they can become the next Roxanne Perez, but instead they'll just find out that that's not how it's going to be here. And she says they'll be waiting a long time till they ever take this title from me. So she's basically saying, line them up and I'll knock them down.
I think this reign's going to be quite a long time, because I don't see any of these girls beating Rox at No Mercy.
Okay, so we're thinking it's Sol Ruka versus Roxanne at No Mercy, which I think is the best outcome for that. But then we know that Julia's coming in. We know that
got the CW debut, which will be a huge match, and then the Halloween Havoc, which will be a big match.
Yeah, so there's time. I think Julia shows up at No Mercy after the match.
Okay.
Or someone shows up. Like, someone's got to show up to make their claim for then the next, you know.
I see just that first CW show being full of surprises and things,
right,
and maybe just hold off Julia debuting.
True.
Then.
Yeah.
Rox definitely has a bit of a lineup going on.
Yeah, like I'm definitely like overthinking, but like it would be cool if we got AJ Lee and Roxanne down the line somehow, some way. Julia, Vakur, Delta. There's like a bit of a lineup here. So hopefully we get some of these matches that could be pretty awesome. Which then takes us to Shawn Michaels on his plane talking about the first NXT on the CW. He says there's going to be 2 weeks on the road, Chicago and then St. Louis, and then mentions that NXT is on fire, but it's going to be a whole different animal on the CW.
Yeah.
So Batista's coming up.
Maybe.
The animal. A whole different animal.
To face Roxanne Perez.
Strange animal.
He was the women's champion once, wasn't he?
Batista?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
You not seen that clip where they like announce him?
Oh,
like, and your
women's champion,
WWE women's champion.
And he's probably like, what?
Batista.
Huh. There you go. He's coming back. Pretty cool that they're doing this. And I think you're right. I think the next No Mercy CW era, they're going to load up some of those shows, especially those 2 weeks back to back. So looking forward to that. I love Sean hanging out on his plane. Yeah. What do you think he does on that plane? Reads. Listens to country music.
Yeah, what was that film he was in?
Country music, something. Country Love.
Country Heart, something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, probably. He's probably pretty boring now, isn't he?
No, he trains wrestlers now. He knows what he's doing. He's watching the Olympics like, all right, I'm going to sign her. I'm going to sign her. Love Sean now. Next week is the Gauntlet. Next week is also OC versus Hank and Tank. We got the triple threat number one contenders and then the women's gauntlet contender eliminator and then Lola versus Wendy Chu as well.
All right.
We go backstage. We see Tahuti Miles. Sorry. Ashanti the Adonis.
Ashanti the Adonis.
Talking to two cuties, as he keeps calling them different words and names. He then says, hey, girls, what's going on? And he kind of interrupts their conversation and they're kind of not interested in him. And he then sees two other girls, but they're talking to someone else. So he then goes, it's not y'all, it's me. And then walks off and then tries to talk to the other girls with, I think this is Dion Lennox here. We haven't seen in a while.
Dion Lennox.
With the glasses.
That's right.
They say that they're talking about books. And he's like, you're talking about books? You know, I love books too. And then the girls walk off and he looks at Lennox and says, oh, I see you. Big pimpin'. He goes, what are you doing reading anyways? Like, come on, where's that going to get you? And Lennox is like,
he thinks he's like doing it as a,
yeah,
just a way. And he's like, no, I like reading.
Genuinely read. Off. So are we getting some sort of a match or B, some sort of like tag team?
I mean, if they want to steal an indie gimmick, I don't think looks and books are a thing.
They're broken up.
Right.
Yo, shout out looks and books and looks.
Books and looks.
We went to Smash Wrestling a few times and there was this tag team where their gimmick was like, they like books and one of them's good looking and then they split up because.
Yeah, I think they're, in my head, they're both wearing like the Malik Blade, like sweater vest.
They both wore vests, glasses. Yeah. But yeah, shout out Smash Wrestling.
Yeah.
Looks and books. But yeah, so are we getting some sort of like, they're going to teach each other how to be. Like players, or I don't know, something's gonna come out of this. I'm enjoying Ashanti being the smartest guy in WWE, being like, hey, NXT.
Has he wrestled yet?
No, exactly. He's the smartest guy. I'm not gonna go to NXT to wrestle, I'm gonna go to hit on women.
It's funny because he had a segment on SmackDown where he went into Nick Aldis's office like a couple of months ago,
right?
And he's like, wanna show I'm hungry? I wanna, like, come on, like, book me essentially. Yeah. There was no follow-up of it. And then he's just, now just go to NXT.
He's hungry or he's thirsty.
Yeah.
He's going to NXT.
Yeah.
Smartest guy in the game, if you ask me. So we'll see what happens with that. We go to our main event of NXT tonight. NXT Tag Team Championship match. The champs, Axiom and Frazier, taking on Chase U Black? Chase U Red? It's like the Wolfpack.
It's just their away kit, isn't it?
Yeah. Ridge Holland and Andre Chase, that being. And this match starts off. Yes, Axiom and Frazier retained from the Rascals last week off a hot, pretty hot match. And I'd say this one was definitely worth checking out as well. If you've been enjoying and cherry pick your NXT, this was one to watch. We get Frazier starting off here. And as I always say, he is just the fastest guy. Like, he runs the ropes like no one else. It kind of breaks down early on where Axiom hits this like snap half and half on Chase. And then both guys send them members of Chase U to the outside and they hit topes in stereo, then another one and another one as they go to commercial break. I'm pretty sure they hit like six in a row right before the commercial. When we come back, there's some crazy counters from Frazier to Andre. There's like series of arm drags. Ridge tags in though and hits this crazy. I always used to give this move to my guy in the video game, like the lift up Canadian backbreaker thing, Dominator into like a cutter. Looks pretty cool. Ridge hits this, but it's broken up. Eventually there's a 450 splash onto Ridge from Frazier, but that's broken up as well. And then Ridge picks up, I think it's Axiom, and then off the top Andre jumps and hits this like mushroom stomp then into the power slam. Really cool combo from Ridge and Andre Chase here, but that's broken up as well. Axiom almost kicks Frazier like last week, but it's blocked. They then hit Chasing the Dragon.
They did kind of the, he caught the leg, but then swung it at Ridge to take him out the ring, which was pretty good.
And then they hit Chasing the Dragon, which they haven't called it that, but the blur, I guess.
But the superplex version.
It's pretty crazy. So this still is then only a two count. Eventually Chase U come back. They hit another innovative power combo move with a power bomb into a lung blower combo. And this move, the backcracker lung blower, it always depends on who's taking it to make it look good by selling it. I think it's Frazier who sells this like absolute death, but somehow kicks out of this. It's broken up. The match continues. I think it's Ridge up top with Axiom, gets hit with an avalanche Spanish fly. And again, Ridge is a big dude, so that was pretty impressive. but it's broken up as well. Eventually, Chase shoves Frazier off the top. He was going for his Phoenix Splash. And then it's Ridge who, crap, what does he hit at the, my notes I wrote, it's over. I'm like, what the hell did they hit to win this match?
he hits a huge lariat and then his like package DDT.
Yes, sorry. Yes, the Ridge Holland DDT. They have a name for it as well. But he gets the
Northern
one.
Northern Grit, is it?
Northern Grit?
I think so.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, and new tag team champs here in NXT. Chase, you. That's right. Wow. Put them up. And then the confetti showers down. The students gather in the ring. It's a celebration. Duke is smiling.
Somewhere back home, Bodie Hayward's got a tear in his eye.
Oh, remember him?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you know, you know. But big celebration. Duke is smiling. Everyone's smiling. The logo comes up and NXT goes off the air.
Really good match. I think we've had 2 weeks now, this NXT Tag Championship closing the show, and rightfully so, because it's a shame to see this run end, because I feel we could have, there could have been more of these matches with Frazier and Axiom, but I assume they're going to be feuding against each other soon. I think when they announced last week and we didn't have the Rascals win, I kind of had a feeling, Chase, you would win. It makes sense for the story. Now you can have kind of the inner conflict. You'll have Riley and Duke potentially teaming up and jealousy amongst Chase U. But for now, they're happy. And again, it's the red herring that keeps on being teased about whatever it takes. And, well, they just won it clean.
Yeah, there was no cheating whatsoever. They won clean and big celebration.
Andre Chase in sweet Jordans in this as well.
Looking fresh.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they've teased Duke for years now, it seems like. And I feel like maybe we will eventually get him being jealous and him turning on them. Right. Like that's definitely what comes. They had Duke in between them celebrating and you could see his reactions were changing. So it's definitely, it was done purposely, but can't believe it that
it's going to be Riley who's like prodding him. I think, to kind of turn.
Look how invested I am in a silly university gimmick on NXT. But
it's like they've done such a great job, though, with this unit. Like, I think people genuinely do like them, and the matches are good. It's always ridiculous seeing Andre Chase, just the way he's dressed and the way he looks, but then juxtaposed with the way he wrestles, which is pretty fun. And I think these tag matches, the tag match at Stand and Deliver, sorry, not Heatwave, which is excellent. I thought this was a good end to the show.
Absolutely. Like they've been delivering. Chase, you have tag matches, whether it's Andre Chase, Duke, Ridge, like they've now delivered in some of their big tag matches. So I'm always happy for these guys.
And Ridge's first championship.
Okay, nice.
Right?
Like Duke and Andre won it before.
Yeah.
They've had it before. Now a second time for Andre. And again, he's someone like you looked at him when he signed with WWE. We've seen him. What, Harlem Bravado? Mm. Look how far like he's come to be one of the most like popular characters this show. So we're definitely, we've been in their
and
corner.
I enjoy Ridge as well. He does have that like early Brock Lesnar thing about him in his build, obviously.
Right.
But he's obviously a lot safer in ring than he used to be as well. But I think he's quite exciting to watch as a big man.
He's been given some shit in NXT with that whole character. So I mean, even with the beginning of this storyline, so at least something is clicking. It's almost like the Andre Chase and Chase U save your career. They did it to Duke. He was a gambling man before this. He was Aladdin, and then look at him. So I think we will get a turn in some capacity down the line, but Ridge did it.
Never at this point.
Ridge did it for his daughter and for Thea.
Little girl Thea.
But yeah, you know what, a fun episode of NXT. Nothing really pissed me off or annoyed me as much to make me go, I hated it. So
Another good run they're on. I think they're really stacking the deck as they're about to enter the new era on the CW. I didn't think this was quite as high as like the last couple of weeks, but obviously they were Great American Bash, a bit of a theme special. But still, you know, three championship matches on the show, two title changes, pretty noteworthy additions still.
Absolutely. And I mean, going into the CW with some live shows on the road, with some pay-per-views and stuff, like, yeah, I think we got Roxanne with a whole different, like, rogues gallery of people that she can face for the title. We got the possibility of some some radicals jumping from AEW, whether it's Starks or Garcia, Lucha Bros.
I mean, if it is that, Garcia's got to be in the Perry Saturn hat, right?
Oh, yeah. The Kangle.
Yeah.
Which is his hat.
Right? Exactly.
Hopefully he doesn't show up with another guy who likes to wear hats, because he's also gone from AEW.
True, yeah.
Jake Hager. I don't know if we need him in NXT. But yeah, like there could be some exciting things. You know, another question here is Axiom and Frazier. They've been a great tag team. Mm. And I hope they kind of... Part of me is like, fuck it, have them face off at No Mercy, because we just got... actually, we're boys again. And then they lose the titles. Like, that should... It either... Now we should face each other or... go as a tag team on the main roster, because they're very exciting. Maybe one of my favorite tag teams of the year. Like, yeah. When it comes down to it, they've delivered the most as a tag team. Mm. And I think they should get their flowers too. And they would maybe work on the main roster, because they put on some good, like them versus the Machine Guns, them versus Lucha Brothers. Like, oh my God, please. So I don't want them broken.
You've named two teams not in the company yet.
But like, no, I know. Yeah, what you mean, like, yeah. That's something we could potentially get down the line. But yeah, fun times for NXT.
Absolutely. That's what we thought. We always throw up our feedback thread on Facebook. Go ahead and give our Poison Rana group a little follow. And do you want to start with Schley?
Yes. Fire Frank writes in here, Ava drawing Rizzo's name and then asking where Rizzo was and being reminded that she was in the ring with Tony D for the next match had me dying. Speaking of Tony, justice for the Don. He never even got to eat pasta out of the cup. True. Yeah, yeah. We wanted that. Ridge did it. It's coming home for the you.
It is one of those things. It's, you know, you have the entrance and then cut to a skip backstage.
Yeah.
I'd have loved just Rizzo being like, bitch, I'm in the ring.
Yeah.
Like, can we,
I'm here.
Can we get on with it?
Yeah.
And then we go to Magan, who says, I'm glad NXT had a happy ending this week after last week's gut punch. Chase UV, Axiom Frazier was another killer match. That faction has rehabbed careers as Ridge Holland got to benefit from it and paid off big. There's one thing to take away from Wesley going heel is that he can pursue the NXT title. As far as the Gauntlet Eliminator for the women's title goes, does anyone expect a Street Fighter 2 style surprise by having a debut? With all the hype surrounding the CW move, No Mercy can't be an afterthought.
Yeah. Thank you, Megan. Thank you, Frank, for writing in. And everyone in the YouTube chat there as well, we see you. The NXT NA chants I see going on. And Fire Frank, Rob, everyone in the chat, appreciate it. We'll be back next Tuesday night here on the Post Wrestling feed, chatting all about some NXT. We'll find out who, in fact, will face Roxanne, who, in fact, will face Ethan Page at No Mercy. And you can catch all of our other shows. Again, search Poison Rana in your podcast app or on socials at Poison Rana Pod. Give us a follow and check out all the other shows that we do. We'll be live this Sunday on YouTube, chatting about a little preview for All In and some Raw, SmackDown, and everything else going on. And then, of course, we have a patreon.com/PoisonRana. $5 to become a friend for hundreds of podcasts, our SummerSlam 94 review, our Was Next shows, our ECW One Night Stand, early access to The Champ is Here, episode 1, lots and lots of shows, and it's $5. So that's how you can support your boys if you liked what you heard here today.
Yeah. What are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? Really appreciate all the love out there, and I hope everyone's having a nice summer as it's winding down soon. I saw Spirit Halloween's open, so that's usually the time.
Yeah, I don't like this. It's like early August, and there's Vic Joseph saying on NXT, as we're coming to the end of the summer.
Season.
It's like, guys, come on. It was hot today, and it was sunny,
yeah,
and it's August. Like, let's not write things off right away.
I heard Dunkin' Donuts is creating their pumpkin spice latte hard in a can now.
Jesus Christ.
Someone's got to bring some up for us. Everyone out there, thank you for listening. We'll be back again at Poison Rana Pod. I myself, Braden Harrington, Twitter, Instagram. You can follow me at the Bray D.
And you can find me at Davey Portman.
That's it. That's all. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And shout out post nut clarity. Or should I say, shout out post NXT clarity.
Ahoy!